everybody. We are back with another episode of the Mic'd Up IDP podcast. We're going to continue on with the rookie talk of the 2021 class. And in this episode, we are discussing the rookie defensive linemen. So we're looking at edge rushers and defensive ends. Definitely, it was a weird year in 2020 with some of the juniors and seniors and some players opting out, plus half the games than a normal college season. So with some instances, we had to look at the 2019 tape and film. So there were some guys that did jump off, obviously. But at least in my opinion, for the 2021 class, I don't see a Chase Young or a Miles Garrett in this year's draft. But I do think it's a collection of really good pass rushers who I think can develop into the elite players. So if there's guys that you're targeting that you miss on, like, I wouldn't be too upset if you missed on any of those, on some of those guys. I know Chase Young was the coveted defensive end last year. So I know he was, you know, a top 12, you know, could have been a first rounder, really early second rounder, in your rookie drafts. But I don't really think there's one of those guys that you really need to covet. Like I said, if you miss out on kind of that, what I think is a first tier, there's plenty to grab from in kind of that second tier defensive line. So, like I said, really good collection of good pass rushers who I think can develop. So we are going to get right into it with the rookie defensive lineman. First up is Kwity Paye, the defensive end from Michigan. I think landing spot is going to be key for Pay. I try not to pay attention to scheme, but I do think Pay should or will need to be drafted by a 4-3 base. I really hope he doesn't end up like Rashawn Gary, where he ends up on a 34 base team. I really hope he lands on a 43 base to where he can really get in the really line up on that with four defensive linemen, get really on the outside, because he really is a solid defensive end who can really stop the run. So I really hope he lands on a 43 base. He occupies space, will take on the blockers, uses his hands, he'll shed off offensive linemen. And one of the things is what really makes him kind of stand out in the run game is he's quick to process and he doesn't fall for misdirection. So I think he's a really solid run defender. So that's where I really like him as an edge in a 43. Speaking of the edge, he really sets the edge. He doesn't just set and forget. He sets the edge and then attacks, and he will find the football. Another thing that really stood out for me on Pay was his 6.53 cone drill was just absolutely insane. He has very impressive lateral movement. And if he catches an offensive lineman off balance, he's just going to bowl right through them like they're not even there. So I think he really needs to learn how to win a little bit more consistently on the pass rush. He's a bull rusher, just needs to develop some technique. And if he develops a few of those moves at the next level, he is going to be a big problem. So, but Kwity Paye, I think is really, he should transition pretty nicely to the next level, especially with his abilities in the run defense. Next up, we've got Azeez Olajuwon, defensive end, Georgia. Olajuwon, tall, very lengthy. And what I really like is his stab. He's got a really good stabbing movement, stabbing motion. He stabs at the blockers, creates space. And then, you know, if they are quick to recover, he will just swipe away at the wrist. Really quick swipe motion. Once he beats them outside, a really good burst to finish off the quarterback. It's definitely his main move. He's elite with that move. He'll swipe away at the ball, so he's going to try to get the strip sack. So that's also a big plus in IDP. When you get those strip sacks, when you get those combo points, you know, 4 to maybe 6 to 7 points per play. Those are huge. Olajuwon, very coachable. I do think he can develop moves within his toolkit. NFL coaches should be able to get into his ear. So there's definite upside. Just needs to develop into that finisher if he gets blocked. His length, though, is going to allow him to get to win that pass rush consistently. Really good upper body strength. It allows him to extend. If he gets a lineman off balance, it's really all over for the lineman. Really good bend the edge pass rusher, but just needs to build his presence against the run. Kind of reminds me of Yannick Ngakoue in that mold. Very lean, quick, but at this point, you may not want him involved in the run. I think he might start off as a rotational pass rusher, and hopefully he can develop into that run stopper. But even if he plays 50 to 60% of the snaps, the bottom line is this dude can get to the quarterback, and I think he'll definitely be a target in your leagues that reward for sacks, quarterback hits, reward for the big plays, because I think there's definite upside with Olujari and his ability to make those plays. Next up, a guy who I might be higher on than most. I really like Patrick Jones, the second defensive end from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had a lot of good guys that really stood out on their defense this year. I do think he has the ideal size and length to be an edge rusher. Really has a quick move off the snap, gets low, and whether he's standing up, hand in the dirt, has a wide nine stance, he really, once that ball snaps, he's off. Very quick. He's got quick lateral movement, allows him to get from the edge to the inside. Can be a bit high at the point of his contact, but will still disrupt with his arm movement and really won't stop until he reaches the quarterback. If he can't get to the quarterback, he's going to have his arms up, he's going to have his hands up, and he's going to just try to change the trajectory of the pass, really get into the passing lane to really be a nuisance for the quarterback. Once he gets through, he has plus closing speed. He's just going to close in on the quarterback. And if he over pursues, he's not going to give up on the play. So, you know, sometimes edge rushers or defensive ends, if they over pursue, can't get the tackle, can't get to the quarterback, they'll just kind of, you know, mosey on their way down the field. He's not going to give up on the play. He has kind of a quick over move. And what he does, he'll get his hands over the lineman to get inside. And he still maintains his speed throughout with really no wasted motion. Has a really good move set already. Just needs to put on some bulk to get some of that upper strength. I think for Jones, I think it will be vital that he lands on a 43 team. I don't know. He could play linebacker, but I want him to get that defensive line, defensive end, edge rush designation. Luckily, a lot of, you know, most platforms now are designated edge. I know ESPN has done it. Sleeper does have the multi-position designation. In my fantasy league, I know as long as you're commissioner mode, you can change positions. So definitely take advantage of that. Next up. Jalen Phillips, defensive end, Miami. Definitely has the makeup to be a top-tier defensive lineman. I'm just hoping his injury, some of his injuries, don't follow him into the NFL. His first step just gets tackles off balance. Just has a bend to his arm that really allows him to extend. He bends and extends the lineman off of him, and definitely creates space and just creates that space between him and the blocker. If he doesn't get to the quarterback, he's going to pressure. He's going to force the quarterback to throw sooner than he wanted. So that's also going to help the secondary. So he's one of those, cause pressure to get to the turnover, pressure to turnovers. Definitely his techniques will make up for any lack of the physical traits. He has a well-rounded move set. So while he may not have those physical, his technique will make up for that. We see a lot of guys that if they have really sound technique, the speed or some of that athleticism doesn't matter. The technique is what matters. Has a good bend, attacks the outside arms of the blocker, so the blockers can't get inside the pads of Phillips. So he has a nice quick swim move and just will close on the quarterback. And he just doesn't make things up. He's not, make things up on the fly. You can definitely tell he has a plan to get to the quarterback, and his sacks aren't lucky. And really it's because of his game plan, his plan to get to the quarterback. Legs never stop. He's not going to give up on a play. That motor is always running. And most importantly, he's not a run game liability. He needs to get some consistency. But he has good power to acceleration. I don't think you want to get cute with Jalen Phillips. Please don't drop him into coverage. With all of the odd fronts defenses are deploying these days, just keep him on the edge. Very simple. just tell him, see the quarterback, go get the quarterback, go get me the ball. That's pretty much all you need to do. Don't get cute. Don't drop him into coverage. Don't have him cover tight ends. Don't have him cover running backs. Let him get to the quarterback, bottom line. And I really like, I do really like Jalen Phillips. Next up is another Miami defensive end. We've got Greg Rousseau. He actually opted out of the 2020 season, and that really allowed Jalen Phillips to shine this season. But Rousseau, his frame kind of reminds me of Carlos Dunlop, but he's kind of built he's built like Hercules, just has a massive frame, massive upper body. Prototypical edge rusher, really impressive bend. He can just dip and rip. Gets under with his bend and just explodes to the quarterback. Though he plays the edge, his length is definitely an advantage when he can get on the inside. When he lines up on the inside, he's definitely a mismatch for centers or guards. One, he's not afraid of contact or being blocked. He definitely uses his length to end up winning the matchup. Blockers just can't keep him locked up. He's still a bit raw, and he's still coming into his own as a pass rusher. He can move guards around. But can he develop a moveset? That's what he'll really need to do. He doesn't have that with the twitchiness that edge rushers have. And I kind of wish he would have, I get why he opted out. These players, they want to, save their body. They want to prepare for the draft. If they're given a first round grade, hey, all the more power to them. Prepare for the draft. Get your money. But I think he definitely could have used the 2020 season to develop. Just doesn't really have the get off, but I do think he can still have an impact in the NFL for sure. I think the talent is definitely there. And again, I kind of hope he gets that 43, that edge designation, that defensive end designation. Next up, another Pittsburgh defender. As I mentioned, Pittsburgh, really impressive defense. So it had some really outstanding prospects. We've got Rashad Weaver. He missed the 2019 season, but boy, he came back and had a ultra productive 2020 season. Has a good rip to the inside, which will definitely help in the run game. He gets inside, forces the runner to go where he doesn't want to go. Definitely gets forced to take bad paths, bad direction, and basically just dips it and rips. He gets down the line with no wasted motion or paths. Good straight line. He doesn't take any unnecessary movement, unnecessary paths. Just a good straight line. So he's not going to take what the offensive line gives him. So if the offensive line is forcing him to go out, he's not going to do it. He's going to dictate where he goes and has a good reaction to draws and misdirections because of that. So if a tackle is going to force him out, he's just not going to do it. Really good lateral to get inside. Even if he is picked up in a block, he's going to try to disrupt the play. His length allows him, will allow him to get his hands up. So if he is caught up in the pads at the pad level, his hands are typically, he allows his arms and his hands to get free. So he's going to get his hands up in the passing lane. Definitely uses his hands really well to get underneath blockers to disengage. That strength and leverage definitely is going to make him an asset in the run defense because he can get to the ball he'll get the runner outside to where linebackers behind him can make those plays, either resulting in tackles for loss or very, very limited yards. I love his spin move. Really gets those offensive linemen off balance, swipes away at the hands, spins them again off balance, and really gets them leaning. Definitely think he has a plus to a close elite spin move. And if you're a tight end and not sound in your blocking technique, well, you better, because good luck. You're going to get bowled over, or you're just going to get made the fool. I really like Weaver. I think he really kind of makes it in kind of that second tier for me of defensive linemen. So I really like him this year. Rashad Weaver is definitely someone to target. Next up from Penn State, we've got Jason Owe. I think he's one of four guys who I really have in that tier one of potential DL1s of this class. Really improved his impact in the run defense from 2019 to 2020. He's going to chase down running backs. He's not going to give up on the plays. And for someone his size, really creates a low pad level, so he really can get underneath really well. sometimes he's just going to take the path of most resistance. So if he's forced outside, when there's a clear path inside, he's going to go outside. And that's resulted in him missing out on a few opportunities where he's been a second or two late. But I think that's coachable. He just needs to watch the film and really say, hey, you had a clear path here. If you do this, boom, you got yourself a sack. You're definitely getting to the quarterback. He has a good quick off the snap, really gets off the snap, and a really good frame for an edge rusher. He already has those physical traits that allows him to get to the quarterback, and he developed really a nice swim and inside spin move. The lack of sacks in 2020 was a bit concerning, but he did have a high pass rush win rate, so he can get to the pressure and will get through and give himself the ability to get to the quarterback. I'm really hoping he lands on, again, a team with a 43 base. But if he does go to a 34, he's really set up to be their Shaq Barrett, their TJ Watt. Should start as a pass rush specialist, but I think he can develop into a three down guy. But really, any team that is in need for a pass rusher, he better be on their draft board, because he's going to be a solid player. Next, from Vanderbilt, we have Deo Odenigbo. I think he could be higher on boards if he came out of one of the top programs. Really got lost on Vanderbilt in their 0-9 season. So I think he could be kind of a relative sleeper. He's twitchy and he wants to play with physicality. I think if he gains 10 pounds of muscle during this offseason, I think he's definitely going to be a problem for guards in the center position, especially when he kicks inside. He is that can play that multifaceted role on the defensive line. He can move inside, definitely has the ability that guards and centers can't keep up with. Has a quick move from edge to the inside. So I think he can run those stunts. So he will help. He'll be able to get those stunts where his defensive tackle will kind of occupy two guys, just boom, right through, get to the center, get to the quarterback. Really good at getting off the snap, and he's got aggressive hands. And he really sets the edge and forces the runner out. Well, again, like a lot of these guys, he's going to chase down the ball carrier. Uses his hands really well to disengage from the blocks and really has that upside for tackles. As I mentioned, his agility is going to be a problem for centers and guards. He is going to blow plays up, really gets under and through. He had 8 tackles for loss in 2020. So, Dayo Odenigbo, I think he could be kind of one of those sleepers of this year's draft class. Kind of another sleeper that kind of jumped off at me a little bit was Peyton Turner, the defensive end from Houston. Really made a huge leap in production from the 2020 season, from his previous seasons, and really didn't really in just a handful of games. 17% pass rush win rate in 2020. Can definitely tell he worked on his technique and his craft. Definitely think that bodes well for his success in the NFL. Coaches love when players take in info and want to succeed. Think he already has a pro-ready swim move. He's not going to let tackles get into his pads. He has really good length and really aggressive hands. And much like my kids when they were toddlers, his legs and feet never stop moving. He can cut on a dime, really good footwork. If he bites on an option or a misdirection, he can quickly change direction, and he will chase down the ball and get the tackle. Again, has the ability to play inside, so he can be that three down guy, can play in sub packages. So I don't think he's just a base defender. Definitely there's, in my opinion, upside, and I think the arrow's pointing up. So I definitely like Peyton Turner. I think he's someone you could probably get in your mid to later rounds of a rookie draft, because I do think he's kind of going under notice. Next up, we've got Joe Tryon, defensive end from Washington. Another edge who opted out of the 2020 season, but I think there was still a lot to like from his 2019 tape. When Tryon wakes up in the morning, he chooses violence. He does not strive for verbal resolution. He is going to attack. I definitely remember seeing consistent double teams. I'm thinking especially in the Washington State game, just the dude never stopped. Just never stopped, even when two guys were on him. Has a nice dip and rip, but his primary move is still a bull rush, and he will go straight through the offensive line. Doesn't matter. He's not going to let the blockers get him outside. Has really good instincts to get inside. He'll take a nice straight line to get to the quarterback, and I think defensive coordinators are really gonna like using him on stunts. Really does a good job of lulling tackles to the outside, and then will make a quick break inside, and he will close in on a quarterback like a lion chasing in on his prey. He can stand up, put his hand in the ground. I think landing spot will be key. I think if he does land on a 34 base, he could get that linebacker designation. But like I've mentioned, in some of these platforms now, they are using multi-position designations. Should be able to change him to that kind of that edge DL. But again, I kind of hope he does land on a 43 base where he can play that defensive end. But definite upside. For Tryon. From Texas, we have Joseph Asai, actually a converted off-ball linebacker. He converted from an off-ball linebacker to defensive end, and his abilities as a defensive end definitely stood out. Duffy max effort guy, coaches are going to love that about him. Puts out maximum effort. There was one play that really stood out. It was a fourth down play against Oklahoma State in overtime. Got off with a really good first step and just chased down the quarterback for the sack. It was definitely the game winner. Quick moves inside, and like Joe Tryon, defensive coordinators are really going to like using him on stunts. The engine on this kid's never idle, mainly because he definitely has a plan to get to the quarterback. Natural abilities. Even though he just transitioned to end, he already has a move set, which is very scary, and definitely has that bend you really like to see in edge rushers. Although he doesn't have a burst, again, his technique allows him to win, had an 18% pass rush win rate 2020, and you should be able to designate him as an edge defensive lineman in most fantasy platforms if he does land on the 34 base, but definitely, I think you should have a side definitely on your target for your rookie drafts for sure. And last up, we are talking from Wake Forest, Carlos Basham. When Dabo Swinney calls you the best defender they're going to face this year, I think he's definitely someone you're going to want to take notice of. Not the fastest, but active feet and hands, and has an explosion off the snap for someone. I mean, it's almost unfair for someone his size to kind of have that explosion off the snap. If he kicks inside for pass rush situations, God help the interior offensive linemen. They're just not going to have a chance. It's kind of very similar to when Thor ported to Wakanda. As soon as he arrived on Wakanda, between Stormbreaker and his new powers, it really was all over for everybody there. Takes a straight line to the quarterback. Opposing linemen can expect to be bullied. He has a really good swim move, gets under and around. And also, more importantly, he will wrap up, will not allow any room or any wiggle room for escape. So he has a really nice, sound tackling technique where he just will wrap you up. He will use his strength, got nice long arms to disengage from blocks. His length keeps him from, you know, his length keeps him extended from those blocks. So, you know, offensive linemen are just kind of grasping at him, trying to keep him at bay, but it's really difficult. And Basham was definitely a pressure monster during his three seasons at Wake. Definitely has the tools to be a top rusher. He can play three downs. Looks to be a prototypical, 43 end. So I think the arrow is definitely pointing up for this kid. Definitely like Carlos Basham. So those are the edge ends that really stood out to me of this 2021 class. I think if I was going to rank them pre-draft, obviously no draft yet, so we can't really factor in their landing spot. But if I was going to rank them for your rookie drafts, I've got four kind of in that first tier. I think if you come away with any one of these guys, I think you're going to be in good shape. I've got Kwity Paye, Jalen Phillips, Azeez Ojulari, and Jason Owe. So I think any of those four, really, if you come away with those guys, you should be in good shape. Then next I've got Rashad Weaver, Greg Rousseau, Carlos Basham, Patrick Jones, Joseph Asai, Joe Tryon, Peyton Turner, and Deo Onyeigbo. Really, if I can come away with two of those guys, in kind of that 5 through 12 tier, Let them hopefully they develop. I'm pretty psyched. So even if I miss on any one of those top four, if I can come away with a Rashad Weaver or a Patrick Jones, or if I can come away maybe with a Greg Rousseau, Joe Tryon, or Joseph Asai, to really kind of refill my defensive line group, I will be very happy. But those are really my targets in your rookie drafts for this season. And as always with the linebackers, once the draft settles, I will definitely be writing up the guys who have the best landing spot, who are a really nice position for production. I'll kind of go over them a little bit more in terms of their production at the college level, how it will translate to the NFL, and kind of where I see them in 2021 for fantasy. But those are the guys I like, and those are the guys I think you should be targeting for your 2021 rookie draft. So hope this episode was helpful. If I'm off, I'm always up for conversation. Certainly follow me and get at me on Twitter. You can follow me at @Mike_Wohlert. Just love to hear your thoughts. Let me know, am I off? Something, my eyes playing tricks on me. I always like to converse. You know, we all have our guys, and these are the guys that I really like. So until next time, next episode, we'll be talking the rookie safeties. But as always, thank you very much for listening, for following along, and you stay classy, IDP Nation.
This has been a production of the Big 3 Network.